Here in the UK, we sell amazing products and services the whole world wants.
At Uello in Cardiff, we're helping people order, pay and eat faster in 7 countries.
Whilst at Yiquan in Sheffield, our ice cream is served in over 500 restaurants worldwide.
So whether you're new to exporting or experienced, explore global growth for your business with free support from the UK government. Access information, training, events and expert advice to help you find new customers overseas. Visit great.gov.uk to get started.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, take your seats. It's time to start the 4 till 7 thing podcast. And then put the big applause in there, yeah? So put echo on my voice for that first bit. Yeah. And then a huge bit of applause after that,
okay, yeah?
And then I'll probably introduce Gavin Suntz, yeah?
Right.
But do that as the applause settles down.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Listen, I haven't done this all by myself. As you know, I'd like to introduce you now. Oh, sorry, a bit emotional. And then a bit of laughter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
To my two co-hosts, the other two people really responsible for giving you daily dose of 4 till 7 thingness, would you please welcome Dr. Sunta Templeton and Mr. Gavin the Woodman Woods.
Thank you.
So, applause. Not as much applause as I got.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
but still really warm.
Yeah.
Okay, so there.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Sunta Templeton, Gavin Woods.
Thank you.
Yeah. So keep that going. Well, so I look like I'm being really generous through that. Yeah.
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 Applause.
Yeah.
Sunta Templeton, go on, so give away, Suns.
Hi, thanks.
And Gavin Woods.
Thanks.
Again,
hi,
we're keeping thanks. That going. Yeah. But also, ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget the guys behind the scenes who make this such a listening phenomenon. I'm speaking, of course, about our producer. Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of a drum roll.
Yeah.
Big Si! And obviously that's really
massive,
big applause.
Like stadium sound.
Like stadium
Huge.
And then put in Woos! Okay. So what's on this week's show?
Woo!
Yeah, exactly right. After I sat with a surprising group of people at the football, we hear about some of the weird crowds you've fallen in with.
Ooh.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a tale of treasure to fire up the pirate in you. Yes, indeedy, ladies and gentlemen, it's... Again, big laughs, yeah, especially after the ha-ha bit as well there. And the Woodman has a chubby monster from Arizona wedged in his right little slot. And again, a real good knowing laugh there.
Yeah.
It's well and truly in there.
Actually, can I ask for just a chuckle there? Just chuckle, a warm chuckle.
I think you can get yourself more than that.
Okay.
That's fine.
Sure.
We don't want to be too knowing, do we?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Woodman's got it right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the podcast! And then huge applause.
Massive. Yeah.
You promised me you'll do all that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're not going to be too lazy?
No!
Radio X.
We've been moved to, second rate.
A cupboard.
A cupboard, yeah.
Yeah. A cupboard with green lights in it.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is, Gav.
It really is,
I mean, you've really taken the magic out of it, but yeah, you're absolutely right. You've...
A small closet.
Yes. Well, no, but it's got sort of sliding doors, like in a sort of...
That's true, yeah.
Like in a sort of house that's near an airport.
That's...
There's sort of two of them for sound.
Like 6 panes of glass in
really
each
thick
window.
Yeah. Or monkeys.
Yeah, it's sort of,
in fact, we slide those shut. It's not unlike where you watch gorillas.
That's true,
We have a glass panel always there anyway, but normally
it's a bit more like
an aquarium. This feels like we're in like a... secure unit for
absolutely,
radio
yeah.
presenters where they can keep them secure.
Yeah. You could definitely four-limb one of these
absolutely.
And it would keep you in, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's so secure here. As Big Si and Sunta went down to the canteen a second ago, I felt like leaning out the door and shouting, "Two off, Mr. White!" I mean, I'm just wondering when I should ask Big Si if we can slop out.
"Two off, Mr. White."
"Two off!" Fill up Pokemon around the door and go, "Woods, you got a visit?" Quiet on the threes! Right. This is the 4 till 7 thing on your glorious Radio X, marching on to near certain victory. We've been rehoused here. Loads of you texting in. With your tales of being rehoused.
My God,
I worked in a chocolate factory growing up. I got moved to a role behind a red-hot machine with no windows. I had to scrape chocolate off a barrel if it overflowed.
Yeah.
It didn't. In 18 months, that's so long.
A really hot machine.
Yeah, all your tales are being rehoused. Weirdly, I was sort of repositioned at Wembley this weekend. So I had a miserable weekend, obviously.
To the League Cup final.
But yeah. I had to listen to Alan Shearer on the way home.
Oh, man.
Banging on. Yeah. What amazes me, right? If that Liverpool side is so good and so deserved it, how come Chelsea... We missed two chances. We could have easily scored.
Weren't there three one-on-ones with the keeper that Chelsea had?
No, but Gallagher...
There was one moment where they had three shots inside about a second.
Yes. And you look at Gallagher you're thinking, sorry, what chance are you waiting for as a professional footballer?
Yeah, if you finished one of those chances...
I went in the game thinking he's about the only Chelsea player we should really hold on to. And I walked out firmly committed we should offload him as soon as bloody possible. Anyway, then I listened to Alan Shearer and all the red top mob. Yeah. I say that because there's always been a huge bias. And Man City fans will say this as well, it has changed a bit with Pep.
Yeah.
But there's a big bias always towards red sides, like Arsenal.
Always, The Liverpool, everyone's darlings, yeah.
And this is staying in with the old big clubs.
Right, yeah.
That's why none of them, you know... I mean, obviously, there's a cut-off to that, as I'm sure Tottenham have realised.
Absolutely right, Well, there's no red there.
No, there's no red there. But anyway, honestly, on the way home, everyone's just banging on and on about how great Liverpool were. I'm sort of thinking, hang on a second, it was 0-0 until like the 129th minute.
And Chelsea had the better chances. Definitely had the better chances.
Klopp saying this is the greatest trophy he's ever won. What, because Chelsea are so appalling? We're starting to gel. Anyway, so I've gone there with an old pal of mine.
Yeah.
And I've opted. I've decided to drive.
Yeah? Okay, yeah,
I can't bear coming home from Wembley, especially
in defeat.
Considering the last two occasions I've watched Chelsea Liverpool there, I've seen us lose after, a total of 44 penalties. I thought, do you know what? If it goes to penalties, I'm not going to hang around.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to.
It's easier to get home from the continent than it is from Wembley.
It really
if you
is.
Haven't got your
Unbelievable.
Car.
Unbelievable. So I drove.
Yeah.
And they said pink car parking because that was for Chelsea fans.
Right.
And I can see why, because that was furthest from the seats.
Oh, I see.
You have to literally jog a lap of Wembley. And then I got in there. Anyway, when we arrived there, because we're now late, which is always a good time to arrive at Wembley, actually.
Sure.
Because it's a false economy arriving early, because it just means the queues to get through the turnstiles
are all
at the
longer,
game
will
be bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, if you do get there 10 minutes late, you're only saving queuing time. You just get...
Sure.
You just arrive, literally, there's like two people in front of you in the turnstiles instead of the sort of 30 that...
Right.
But they're going to be the same people who are in front of you.
And you're quite likely to go to extra time in a final.
Right, and you get a beer and a hot dog at your leisure, stuff like that.
Although
in this case, soft drinks only for Vorney.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? Fatigue. Do you know what? Soft drinks for Vorney.
Yeah.
I'm going to call that my biography will be that. Anyway, so we've arrived in there. Someone's in our seats. Yeah, it's that situation.
Oh,
I'm sort of thinking, I look up there, I work out where they are. I'm thinking, but then, luckily, there's a load of empty seats there.
Okay.
I think this is great.
Cool.
We'll just go here. I mean, they're not as good as mine.
But save the arguments.
Okay.
These are fine.
It's in the lower tier, about sort of 139 rows back. No, about 41 rows back. But on the corner flag, nice view. Yeah.
Nice,
So we sit down there. We've got loads of space. It feels like really executive. I'm thinking, this is terrible. Chelsea didn't even... We didn't sell out our allocation. I'm feeling like ashamed.
Yeah.
Suddenly, I can tell exactly how many. 104... RAF cadets who are on the pitch.
Oh no, they're
yeah, that's where me and my mate are sitting. We're sitting right in the middle of us and 104 kids.
Did you have to
in
move?
RAF outfits.
No,
it's fine because they didn't all want to stay for the game.
Right.
I mean, they had a cracking time.
Yeah.
And I think they really enjoyed actually. You know, chanting. They're a really good lot, and I spoke to their leader, their commander. Who's in command?
The wing commander.
And he was a really nice chap. And I know he doesn't. He might listen to the show. He certainly used to enjoy some of my antics in the past. But he's a really nice bloke.
Yeah.
There's two of them in charge of 104. So I said, in other words, no one. And but the kids were thoroughly enjoying it. They're really getting into abusive chanting.
Oh, they represented the Royal Air Force quite well.
Really good to lend their rather nice voice. Like a load of sort of quite well spoken 15-year-olds. Suddenly, really getting into it. But it was just really weird. I was sort of sitting there. I'm thinking, God, you know what? I used to go to these things. Now everyone's left London and stuff. I used to go to these things about 30 mates in a coach. You know what I mean? With 104 air cadets. just sitting there.
Very different.
It was very,
very
mad.
Different. Yeah.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Loads of you texting in just to tell us about some of the weird crowds you've fallen in with. I went to a hard fight gig, unfortunately, with my pal last year. I had no idea. It's like a cult. The place was full of Brentford fans, shirt wearing and all. Even chants broke out during the gig.
Wow.
Never again, gang. And that's Rory. Thank you very much, Rory, for that story. I went to see the Book of Mormon, and we were amongst 35 Mormons.
What? Wow, what did they think of it?
Wow.
What? That's odd.
That's really odd.
That's really odd.
Do you think they didn't realise what they were going to
no,
see?
No, but I can't imagine how... I mean, if you're a Mormon, you might be...
Be a little bit offended.
No, I think the Mormons come out of it looking quite good, actually.
I suppose.
They look like they care, and they look like... Well, I don't know, actually. In fact, scrub what I just said. There is no way you'd want to sit... No.
Surrounded by 35 Mormons.
This is a good one. Are you ready? I was at a Man City Champions League home game last season.
Yeah.
We had some Japanese tourists.
Yes.
Stood near us. Mm. They were more interested in the singing and swearing going on around them. Actually, in common with the air cadets. I've got to tell you, yesterday.
Absolutely,
they much preferred the yobbery.
Yeah, well, it's a revelation if you're not used to it.
Because that's kind of what you come from, to sing in England, don't you?
Pretty much,
That's a proper touristy experience.
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. I know, but if you were really going to go say, just head to Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
Those lads don't mess
around. Oh, yeah, none of them miss a beat.
Milan. Yeah, right. Well, it's a bit too...
It's too regimented.
It's too regimented. It looks a bit contrived.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were more interested in the singing and swearing going on around them, properly lapping it up. Anyway, City scored, and a fan set off a flare.
Yeah.
Obviously banned in stadiums here.
Yeah.
He handed the flare to one of the tourists who was gleefully waving it around until he got collared by stewards and taken out.
Oh, no!
I saw him at the end of the game being taken away by the police.
No.
Johnny, I remember an unlikely neighbour sitting next to us at a Motorhead Iron Fist. What a tour that was. Hammersmith Odeon. He must have come straight from his work. He was dressed in navy blue pinstripe suit, briefcase and bowler hat. When they hit the stage, he went berserk, violently headbanging.
Amazing!
That's so good! It's now time to thank our partner for this episode, NHS Talking Therapies. For anyone struggling to cope with feelings of depression, excessive worry, social anxiety, post-traumatic stress or obsessions and compulsions, seeking help through NHS Talking Therapies can be one of the best steps a person can take to overcome their mental health issues and get back on track. NHS Talking Therapies, delivered by trained clinicians, are a free, effective and confidential way to treat common mental health issues. They can be offered in several ways, including online, on the phone or in person. Your GP can refer you for NHS Talking Therapies, or you can refer yourself online, nhs.uk/talk. Thanks again to NHS Talking Therapies for supporting this podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Thang.
Radio X.
Guys, just a couple of stories for you. Are you ready?
Yep.
Sure. First up, Riot Squad was deployed to restore order in jails the equivalent of more than twice a day. Data shows the National Tactical Response Group was called in 794 times, 40% annual rise. Can I say why they do that?
Why? This is in the UK, I presume.
Yeah, because if you're spending, it's like the firemen, you know, you're paid for what you're willing to do.
Sure,
in
what
a
you're willing
fire.
To go through.
Right,
yeah.
But everyone thinks they don't do anything; just play pool. And that's good.
Sure.
You don't want fires.
You don't want them always working.
No, you just want guys around there who are there if it happens.
And you want there to be no
fires. Right.
Yeah,
it's
like
having nuclear bombs and you hope you never use them.
Right.
You know, so it's a waste of money. We never use them. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Good news.
What are you complaining about? We shouldn't have them. No, but you sort of think we should be letting them off.
Sure.
Anyway, so same with these guys. They stand down for too long, everyone starts to look at them like you don't deserve extra money.
Right.
Because remember, they work in prisons anyway.
Yeah.
They're just a few trained, more violent officers.
It's a different group, the NTRG,
Yeah, it is, yeah. Absolutely right, yeah. Anyway, the point is, I think when they do go to work, I think they have a lot of fun. So,
sure.
I think they love it.
Yeah, well, they're there. They're up for it.
Yeah, they're right up. They volunteer for it. They're right up. They get all the kit and everything. Yeah. In they go. Yeah. No one asking any questions.
They're wearing what looks like... You remember that guy that made a bear attack suit?
Yes, yeah, right.
They've got that gear on.
Oh, the mufti boys. Yeah. They don't even have to particularly read anyone rights.
No, no, they go in and do the business,
So the reason they're doing that is, firstly, it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
And secondly, justify money. Otherwise, you think they're going to pare it down.
Mm. Yeah, of course, it's pretty much extreme British bulldog.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. So the answer is they like it. They're keen.
Yeah. Sure.
Next up, the brother of £61 million lottery winner Debbie Nuttall.
Yeah.
He's come out of nowhere.
Has he?
Oh.
Yeah, but
what's he saying?
I don't want a penny. He's kind of saying,
why has he told the papers that?
Remember me. He's like saying, remember me, forget me.
Yes.
Right.
Don't worry about me over here.
Yes.
Over here.
Yeah, don't even think about me.
Me.
Yes, in case you've forgotten me, forget me.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. He's saying he doesn't want a penny.
No.
Sure.
No.
He's telling that newspaper.
Well, that makes things easy.
He's decided to break cover to tell her he doesn't want a penny.
He's broken his silence.
Yes.
Great.
He really has. He said he didn't want a penny of her win.
I wonder why he didn't just tell her instead of the...
He's on benefits.
It would have been more efficient, certainly. Yeah. You're right, yeah. He could have just let her know privately, couldn't he?
Yeah. Text.
He said, hang out a begging bowl. No way.
Not me.
Not me. That's what he said.
Right.
No way. And do you know what? I admire him, Gav.
Yeah.
I admire his stance.
Yeah. It's a very principled
thing. So if you start to hand out money to obvious close relatives...
She should tell him, oh, no. I was just going to send you a million quid, okay, well, if that's what you want.
And lastly, this is the sort of society we've become, and this really saddens me.
Mm.
A mum who claimed 650 grand for injuries was caught competing in a Christmas tree tossing event. No,
It's always something amazing, like hang gliding.
No, listen, she was left with a disabling condition when travelling in a car that was struck from behind.
Right.
She sued the insurance company saying she couldn't work for more than 5 years, play with the children or carry out, she has permanent pain.
Right.
And do you know what? They're all saying, oh, you can't get your money, rather than saying, isn't it great that despite that pain, she manages to heave... Sorry, Greg.
How did she get the competition?
She won it.
She
Look
won
at
it.
The size
I'm just
of
saying,
it.
But.
She's like four.
Look at the size of that tree. No, but do you know what gets me about this country? We've become so cynical.
We are cynical.
She's just trying to claw back a bit of self-respect by lobbing a 12-foot Christmas tree an enormous distance.
It's a miracle.
But what you don't see is the pain she's going through there.
Sure, sure.
So what are we doing? We're putting someone down for overcoming pain.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't do that.
It's disgusting.
Right. Yeah, disgusting.
A woman needs a... She wants to celebrate. She gets a medal.
She does.
With all, according to what she says she's suffering from. It's amazing.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, utterly no exception. Today, the Woodman... there's a slight difference on a Monday. It's a man-eater.
Sure.
Essentially, Gav celebrates a creature on this earth that has man very much on its menu, in its sights, on its hit list. Say what you will, but Gav's going to showcase it now. Gavin.
Today's hero, Johnny, is the Gila monster. It's spelt Gila, G-I-L-A.
Cool.
But apparently it's pronounced Gila. So today's today's monster is the Gila monster.
Where's this little sucker hailing from, Jeff?
Okay, so it's based around the Gila River Basin, which is a river that runs from Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, into Sonora, northwest Mexico.
Okay.
So it's just along that river, Gila River.
There's nothing in that area.
It's all bad.
Including humans, that isn't deadly.
Very dangerous, So it's a venomous lizard from America. It's the biggest lizard in America.
Don't say that, Gav. Do you know why?
Why?
Do you look like a lizard?
Do you look like a lizard, mate?
Do you look like a lizard? Sorry, mate. What is that thing? Put that thing away. Do you look like a lizard?
I look like a cockroach.
Do you look like a lizard? That's a lizard.
So it's a rare protected species in Arizona. They are large. They're 22 inches long. And they weigh up to 2 pounds. It is the biggest lizard native to America.
Is it?
22 inches, including the tail. It's a very podgy tail. In fact, it's a very podgy lizard. I'm showing you a picture of one now.
It's got a great big fat tail on it.
Look at that, really hench.
Oh, look at that, Gav.
With a big sort of... it's a bit of a Staffordshire head, a Staffy Terrier head to it as well. It's a short snout.
Like an otter.
Like an otter head.
Like an otter lizard.
They have a chubby, thick tail.
Oh, and chubby also, tail on it.
They can store fat in their tail. They only have to eat three times in spring and it'll see them through the whole summer, apparently.
But Gavin, I saw one once. It had a great big fat tail.
Fat tail.
A great big fat tail, innit?
When they do eat, they eat big. They eat rabbits, squirrels, birds, snakes and tortoises. They've got a very strong sense of smell. Great climber. They can climb trees, cactus, even walls. They have long, thin, back-facing teeth. And they are venomous. The venom is not...
Come on, Gav, what's the body count? Stop messing us around.
Well, the Gila monster is only in my list today because there's a name on the list from last week.
Okay.
So when they bite you, they don't envenomate through their teeth.
Sorry, did you say envenomate or did I just make the word up?
I think I made it up.
Okay, because I pretty much know that's not a word.
Do you know how they make sure the venom gets into your wound?
No, I think we're happy with... Envenomate.
They don't squirt it through a hole in their teeth. They chew because it comes along a capillary, like a trough in their teeth. So they have to keep chewing. And once they bite you, they don't let go. It's not a bite and let go like a snake.
You got there, Woodman, is a very interesting envenomation process.
Absolutely.
When they're envenomizing the victim.
Apparently, you have to try quite hard to get bitten. They're really shy and they're not aggressive usually. The venom produces the most painful bite of any vertebrate. That guy on YouTube, Coyote, what's Peterson? Yeah. He lets everything bite him. He's let tarantula, hawk wasps, and bullet ants. He says the Gila monster was the most painful. Apparently, it's like hot lava going through your veins.
He's a very strange individual, that bloke.
He is odd.
Well,
literally,
he will get bitten by things painfully just to get likes.
That's right.
No, but he's pathetic. He's like a sort of, you know, a school kid going, I'll do it.
I know. Go on, dare me, I'll do it.
You know, and he's like, Christ, I've grow up.
There were fatalities before 1930, but they were all to do with wounds not being treated and becoming infected.
His family died.
But last week, a 34-year-old Colorado man died 4 days after being bitten by his pet Gila. It's the first reported fatality since before 1930.
But do you know what, Gav? You know, worked out well for you because you're able to include it now as a current man-eater, which is great.
Monday sorted.
So there is a sort of feel-good.
I'm having words. Let's salute the Gila monster.
The Gila monster. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing. We salute you. Thank you very much indeed, Woodman.
Radio X.
We still haven't talked to you about that fence panel, have we?
Oh, yeah.
That you were adjusting at the weekend.
Yeah.
And not without good reason. Do you think people have been watching you? No, I'm saying, but when fence panels come loose, often it's because people are being watched.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you ever get the feeling you're being watched?
It's a classic.
No, do you get the feeling you're being watched ever?
No.
If I was your neighbour, I would certainly watch you.
Keep an eye.
The whole time.
Yeah. Definitely.
I laugh.
Fascinated.
I get my family around, get friends around, say, look at this guy.
Darling, he's looking at his heat pump exchange again.
Look at this guy for a laugh. Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless.
Look what he's done with that strawberry patch.
Oh, look at this.
Unbelievable.
Now. Look at him kill. He just killed a fox. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to become. Mary, quick.
He's killed a fox.
He's just killed a.
To be fair, it's quite intriguing life, thinking
about
it.
Mary,
you've got to come and see this. Postman's having a poo in his portaloo. He's going absolutely mad. Quick.
Little size garden is like a soap opera.
Yeah. It is, yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it could be I mean, quite a slow-moving one, Gavin, and by no means gripping.
Well, maybe one episode a month.
I said, Mary, quick.
X.
Has the penny dropped yet? Well, the pennies are dropping at Aldi. In store now, this week's Super 6 from as little as 39p. Oranges, kiwi and British Royal Gala apples, just 89p. Romaine lettuce and Mange Tout, just 69p. And spring onions, just 39p. Cha-ching! So chop, get down to Aldi.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hey, guys.
Mm.
Weird things happened.
What?
Well... patients who direct, you know, abuse at NHS staff.
Oh, yes.
And workers, key workers.
Yeah.
We don't use that phrase so much anymore.
No.
At the time, I felt a bit cheesed off about it.
Why?
Well, it's like that thing of John Kennedy being the most trusted man in music. You can bet that those people who started labelling everyone key workers would have called him the only key worker here. Do you know what I mean? Just to make us feel bad.
We were key workers, Johnny.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So how seriously can you take it?
Well, that's a good
if
one.
We were seen as... Yeah. No, I'm just saying, if we
you're
were
right,
ever...
You're right.
For a while, okay, during COVID... I know people don't like to talk about it because it's like talking about the Wawa directly after this. No one spoke about the Wawa after it. Yeah. But don't mention the Wawa. Anyway, if you remember, Gav, I was allowed to park anywhere in Westminster with no congestion charge.
Yeah.
I thought, considering I'm the only car here, isn't that nice of them?
Yeah, isn't that good of them? Yeah,
We're about the only five workers in central London.
I was on my own on the tube every day, me and the rat.
I was on my own on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
No congestion charge. We even got a letter that said I was a key worker. I'm thinking, how the... Am I a key worker?
I hope they don't rely on me, obviously.
Yeah, right. They even shut down Chinatown.
I can't even do the Heimlich manoeuvre.
You're right. How am I a key worker?
I'm not that guy.
I'm not even ripping the government off from PPE.
Exactly.
Anyway, so there is abuse of NHS workers, and someone has now suggested that they'll be shown the red card.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
And does that mean you're going to have patients in Dingle? On their chart, they'll say he's on a yellow.
That'd be great.
Mm.
When they have refs in hospitals patrolling.
And they run backwards.
Yeah.
Away from the...
Are they all Scottish? Do you think they're like really strict Scottish referees?
He got a straight red. Okay, next question. Where are you sent off to?
Yeah, right.
Let's say you're that person who they love to have things like Carry On films, who's fully bandaged, arms up, legs up, with one of those hoists, or one of those guys who's broken their neck with those things right round like a sort of
and
big...
someone pulls the pulley by mistake.
You are abusive to staff. Someone in that position there is really in pain and in that moment actually fishes out a bit of invective from their lexicon.
Yes.
And the member of staff who's really taking their time.
Right.
And out you go. I mean, they can't, you know, right, that's it, straight red. Well, where's he going now?
Just roll the whole bed out of the room,
You just look out. I'll tell you what, they're going to have to stick him in the car park. Outside, you'll just look at the car park. There'll be rows of beds.
I'm really angry. Like, it's a full body cast.
It's sort of like an intensive care floor at the multi-story. You'll just be there.
All just a little bit red face. That's all you can see through the bandages.
Yeah. Really angry
eyes. Just all there, just going... A lot of people swearing. It's like a sort of Tourette's unit. Sorry, I didn't mean that, because I know that's quite offensive. Yeah. Anyway, our staff should not be shouted at while doing their job. It's happening more often. We are taking action over the... Or will there be a sin bin?
Oh, man.
Where you just get... Just like a few patients who've got gout.
And VAR.
Shouting.
Will there be reviews of the incident?
Anyway, come on, guys. This is Primal Scream, which is pretty well what the guy opposite me when I had my last knee operation and he had gout. It's pretty well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this nurse touched his foot.
Once, gently.
And he went, no! It's shocking! It was terrible. I could hear his screams at night. I'm not kidding.
Did he have one of those tents over his feet?
Yeah, but she went past, I swear, because he was quite a grumpy old bloke. But
she slightly brushed.
Definitely did. And nurses will know. She defo did.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
I had no idea about President Biden's horrible dogs. I like the fact you got in charge of the free world. We've got an old boy. Yeah. And this makes him so relatable. Mm. A sort of old man.
Yeah.
He's got two nasty Alsatians.
Oh. Yes, they're Alsatians,
they're
aren't
horrible.
They?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's.
And they keep biting Secret Service agents.
Yeah, but it's just horrible. Just this old man who's losing his mind a little bit, and he's got two horrible dogs.
Alsatians,
yeah. So, for members of the Secret Service guarding President Biden, the most crucial weapon to protect themselves isn't a gun, it's a bag of dog biscuits.
Ah.
So they have to carry biscuits. After one agent needed six stitches to his hand.
Oh, man.
No, that's awful.
He said, just don't go near him when he's angry.
Oh.
Stay away from his mouth.
He's fine. Just don't show him you're frightened.
Goodness.
Biden's two-year-old German Shepherd, Commander, is his name. He's a German Shepherd. He was given a small care package for safety purpose. So each guard is given pepper spray, a muzzle, and dog treats.
Oh my God.
It's very rare you get a dog that loses you votes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mostly they're seen as being like a...
Yeah.
It's a
vote winner,
George W. Bush had that little thing that sort of, like, you know, he's sort of like, that's my special boy. You know?
Yeah.
This is like a horrible...
Scary guard dog.
Scary. Unfriendly.
Also, doesn't really fit his
image, not at all. I wish it was like a gift from someone.
Yeah.
Anyway, Commander was banished to an undisclosed location last October because there were 11 incidents that emerged of him biting staff.
Oh man.
Now, newly released documents reveal that he bit agents 24 times.
Wow.
The documents cover October 22nd to July 23rd. Only members of the Secret Service, rather than all presidential staff, meaning the true toll could be far higher.
Wow.
They've got
a taste for it. Wait for this.
He's a man-eater.
400 pages of files.
Oh my God.
Show that many agents required treatment after incidents at multiple locations.
Oh.
White House, Camp David, Maryland, and the Biden family home in Delaware. An unnamed agent wrote, "The recent dog bites have challenged us to adjust our operational tactics when Commander is present. Please give lots of room." They warned colleagues that they must be creative to ensure their own personal safety.
My, he's a loose cannon, this dog.
He's a real loose cannon.
Yeah.
A source close to the Biden family said they were heartbroken by the incident.
Because
he's nice.
He loves everyone.
Commander wouldn't have done that. Well, he must have been provoked.
Yeah, that's right.
Not dog owners are like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's their own fault.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you tell me what my dog's done.
They know what he's like. If you ask me, they should apologise for upsetting Commander.
Radio X.
So, a couple won 62 million this week in the lottery. Gavin and I were just saying we would never tell anyone.
Ever.
Mm.
Talk about flushing out.
There's not more resentment than having just won it. I mean, no one's going to have pleased for you.
In Britain
ever,
these days, all you got to do is a flush out scrounge and just have a job.
And there's that too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Oh,
you buy a scratch card these days and you've got relatives calling you up.
Yeah.
But that's without scratching it.
Yeah, right.
So we're just looking at some of... Now, I said I'd invented something.
Mm. Yes.
Or my dad had...
What was it? A tractor part?
A gadget used in tractors.
Right. Well,
that's now illegal not to have that on your tractor.
Yes, something for lorries, for the jackknifing thing. That means it cuts off something to something.
Sure, the fuel lines.
Something
are
now
very
safer.
Yeah.
It's in tractors because it means tractors lose power in mud. By this time, they'll drift off.
Oh, yeah, they won't be interested. And that's the best reason to have, because you don't want anyone testing your lie.
No.
Because if I said to someone I wrote software and they went, well, what kind of software? What language did you? I'd be lost straight away.
You're better off going with, it's a whelping clutch used in abattoirs. Sometimes when
the
blood starts to really flow, you can get slippage on the mercy bolt.
Yeah, yeah, people are walking away by then.
Slides within the brain matter of the ruminant. Well, what this enables you, so you getting clean contact with.
They're backing away now.
Yes,
yeah, they're not asking any further questions.
No, I can show you pictures, actually, of when the ruminant is on the gambling
this
table.
This device paid for by Bentley.
And they're getting what's called an inkling of the inevitable, but the happy pastures that you're going to dispatch them to. Mm. Suds, what's your lie for this, do you think? How are you going to cover it?
I like the idea of, like, discovering that you've got something that is worth loads of money, but you didn't know. So maybe, like, a really rare record
in an attic or something.
You've just had it knocking around, and you're like, oh, by the way.
A record.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get 61 million for a record.
I don't know what you're planning to lie about.
I mean, you could find Hendrix's Strat.
I love you and everything, yeah, but your record, that's not doing it.
My expectations of how much we're going to win are maybe a lot lower.
Okay, so it's got to be a Leonardo if it's going to be that kind of
thing. I found a single by Da Vinci.
Oh, no, I've got a better one.
By the Da Vinci Band.
So you pick up a nice painting in a charity shop.
There you go. And it is a Michelangelo.
Okay, can I just say, in case this happens, you're much better off with porcelain.
Right.
Oh, really?
Chinese.
Is that where it gets big money?
Yeah, it was used as a flower pot.
Right.
Sure.
Because they are paying top dollar for that. And we ravaged the summer, the so-called Summer Palace, which is said to be the most beautiful place on earth. The English leveled that in China as revenge, as part of something in the Opium Wars.
Yeah.
But you're better off going for a nice bit of porcelain from there. There was one in an auction house, I think in Ruislip or Acton, a while ago that went for 64 million.
Well, there you go. That's lottery money. Yeah.
In a junk shop. It was just two fish, but there were were very lucky. It turns out it was from the, what was the one before the Song, before the Ming Dynasty? Is it the Song Dynasty or the Tang Dynasty?
Tang, like, I think it's Tang.
I think it's the Tang Dynasty. Anyway, yeah, so around about the time of Genghis Khan, because he negotiated with that mob, didn't he? Drunk.
Timurjin, yeah.
Yeah, Timurjin did, yeah. Anyway, so you're better off with that rather than saying, sure. I found the record.
I went... I got some porcelain from a charity. This is taking a long time to explain.
No, I'm just saying it's
you got some Tang porcelain in a charity
shop. Yeah, I've got a Tang of money.
But I also got a really cool record too.
As well.
Nice. Oh, okay, no, cool. Just leave the record out of it.
No, but I've got some great records.
Harry and Cheshunt. No, there's no records. You don't have to be just
really
a DJ.
Rare
record. You got any good badges?
No, it's
badges,
not records.
Final,
any good badges?
You can't get it anywhere.
Oh, really?
Oh,
what picture this?
More of your lottery lies next.
X. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Sunset, it's not going to happen. The
just
most
let
expensive
it go.
Single ever sold was 24 grand. Admittedly, that was back then.
Okay, but what about a really rare album?
And that was
a lot
was
more records on a.
Yeah, I know, but that's most expensive. That was for, I think, Do I Love You? Brackets, yes, I do. We're just looking at ways we'd cover up that lottery win we're all surely going to have. Mm. Sunta says she claims she sold a record.
Okay. A white album sold for $790,000.
Again, that's not going to cover it.
Not enough, is it?
What did I say about 62 million?
Yeah.
I told you. If you go with.
How many white albums could I have, though?
No, you've got.
Or you found 100.
I found the first 100 pressings.
I found a delivery van of albums.
Brand new stock.
Marked up Parlophone.
Dead stock.
It said Parlophone on it. That's Apple, actually. This actually happened to me. I won 500,000. I told people I started a business. He's lying.
I hope that's true, Harry.
That's Harry in Cheshire. It happened to me, he won 500,000. He said he found an album. I'm a window cleaner. I'd say I was left the money by a wealthy customer in their will.
Mm.
I should be so lucky.
Nice.
Said Gary, that's a great cover story.
It's not bad, yeah.
See, the lottery should be awarded to people for imagination, not just picking
numbers.
Yeah,
whoever's got the good story.
But a panel saying that's a great story.
Mm.
I'd explain away a lottery win by saying I got a big signing on fee by Man City.
Mm.
It'd probably raise a lot of further questions as I'm 40 and I'm not good at football. But I reckon I could shift the conversation onto something else after a few pints. Says Oliver in Bury. Thank you very much. We're all anticipating big lottery wins over the weekend. But what's our cover story? What the heck is our cover story to cover ourselves from all the scroungers? 83936.
Radio X.
4 till 7 on Radio X. We're just looking at ways you'd cover up a massive lottery win and really fend off.
Just to lower the resentment.
And fend off all the cockneys.
And
no, they would be, though, wouldn't they?
Do you think all scroungers would definitely be cockneys?
Air comes, you ain't going to give your. Come on, you got to give your second brother in law in law. Something. I'd say I discovered I had an. What's this?
Tell Me Lies, Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
Lottery
instrumental.
Lies. Yeah.
What's
lottery
it called?
Lies.
A lottery lies. Yeah. You've got a way of making me wish I hadn't started an item.
Tell me lies.
Tell me lies. Tell me lies. How can you tell me lies? How can you tell me lies? Okay, I'd say I discovered I had an additional superfluous kidney. What, three kidneys?
Over 61
awesome.
Million quid.
62 million quid you're trying to cover up here, mate. Some kidney. Unless it's a kidney of gold. Do you know about that kid with the diamond kidney? Mm. What you got there, Gav?
Kevin in Manchester says, my prize cow won first place at the county fair a while back, and the winnings finally cleared.
A prize cow in Manchester. It's like Aurora Borealis.
You could say a stud bull, because they're so expensive.
That's a good point.
I just sold one.
That's a really good story.
It's such a good
bull.
I bought
part of a racehorse.
Yeah, or a breeding sheep.
It was one of these syndicates. It was in the paper.
Yeah.
And now it won the Ark.
I didn't even realise.
You've got to just talk about the Ark or Dubai.
And everyone's asleep.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll just accept it.
It got Le Prix d'Art, Le Triomphe, and now we're all incredibly rich.
Yeah. It was luck, really.
Come back to mine. We're rich. Don't worry about that. We're rich. My gran opened me post office account with savings book in 74. They just called me up about it. I tell you what, accumulated premium bonds.
That's not bad, yeah.
Not bad at all. What have you seen there, Sons?
This comes from Russell in Glasgow. He says, John Gavinson to covering up a lottery win. Tell people I'm Lukaku's agent.
Oh, that would work.
No, but yeah, that's work. Small change. 62 million. What are you, how are you going to cover up the rest?
Yeah, right.
what are you going to say next week?
All the other money.
Jeez. Radio X. What? Right. I was just scrolling through my device. I don't know why everyone's getting so worked up about it.
No, you're
your device
right.
has got
Carry
some
on.
Great no, sound
what
effects.
What I've done is I put, you can do, get this app
yeah.
that can make your device sound like you're just using paper. And look, listen to the sound it makes as I type.
You know? Yeah, go mm-hmm. on.
Listen.
Wow. Sounds just like a felt tip.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
That's a special app. It's brilliant, really, mm. the technology.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
This is scrolling. Yeah. I'm really impressed with it, actually.
It's really impressive.
Yeah. It's called Pen and Paper. Mm. Right, you ready for this? We're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nicknames. Oh, yeah. Always like the fact the scratch sound effect is essentially my initials, not TJ, JV. And if you go, it really gives you that.
It works perfect.
Gav, have a go.
Brilliant. Perfect.
Yeah. Sons, would you like to have a go at my initials there? No, you're not trying. I bet you would after a couple of glasses of wine.
A couple of glasses of wine,
you'd be sitting there going. Little Sarge, you want to go there? You're not trying again.
Not bad, only Gav
really tried. The other two of you, do you know what you'd rather do? You'd rather not try, so if you fail, it's like we're not laughing at you.
Mm.
And that is no way to go through life, son.
You've got to be fearless when the
mic
opens.
You've got to be fearless. Literally.
You've got to like the mic in this game. You've got to want the mic. You've got to like it.
You've got to need it. Yeah. When I see Mike live, do you know what that's like?
What?
It's like that red light when you're jumping out of a plane.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't dilly-dally at that thing. Never stand. There's a great bit of advice in life. This was Laurence Olivier's advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's his motto, never stand on a diving board.
No.
Now, he was giving that advice to actors who were standing at the side of the stage.
Yeah,
either be walking up to the stage or going out there, but don't hang around there. You'll just get stage fright.
Definitely,
but it's
a
great rule in life.
Yeah.
Either be climbing up or diving.
Or doing it, yeah.
But
none of the in-between stuff.
I'm not saying earlier about Instagram and the advice to give, but that's legit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. Never stand on a diving board.
It's great advice.
Every day we climb up and we dive. Every link, I'm diving.
Sure. Free fall.
I'm going down fast.
Mm.
Right. We're on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we've discovered Know-It-All Rick, known as Rickipedia.
Yeah.
Genius. Three Daves. Tall Dave, because he's tall. Short Dave, because he's short. And Dave, because he's neither. We've got also Phil, whose initials were P.E. Hall. He got nicknamed Jim.
Beautiful.
Genius. Keep coming in, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name. Bit louder, Sons, please. Just to play out the fact that, you know, diversity and all that. Nicola.
Nicola says, a childhood friend, Bradley, once and only once had an asthma attack in class.
I mean, we're not to laugh at that, but, you know.
For at least 35 years, he's been known as Brad the Inhaler.
Oh, that's genius.
You can't not use that. That's hilarious.
That's
so Brad good.
That's so good. Brad the Inhaler. It's fantastic.
It's
a staggering bit
it's
of wordplay.
Really complex.
So just clap it in, guys.
Beautiful work.
Maybe he's back on the clapping. I've been listening to some of Steve Wright's old work.
Oh.
And It just feels a bit tired now. What's Tom saying, Gav?
Tom says, my dad was a window cleaner in the late 70s and had a workmate called Peter who was rubbish at cleaning windows. He would only clean the middle of the window, so he earned the nickname Porthole Pete.
That's genius. This is from Niall. I found out I was referred to as the Terminator in college because when I walked into the canteen, I would pause and scan the room for my girlfriend, Sarah.
Aww.
Sir Connor. keep coming in 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation, since please join in.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Brilliant. That, I'm loving your work.
Thanks.
This is what?
You went, I said thank you.
All right, because I thought you were about to heckle me.
She's spirited.
I thought you were heckling me during
She's
an intro.
Very spirited.
So she's spirited, isn't
no,
she?
Thank you.
I tell you, she has spirit.
My favourite coffee is a strong coffee. Strong enough to grab me by the collar, give my taste buds a talking to, then bang a wakey-wakey gong in the centre of my head. The Costa Americano. Oh, that's the stuff. It's not just strong enough to make me a morning person, it's strong enough to throw me over its shoulder and carry me through my day.
From flat whites to Americanos, cappuccinos to lattes, you'll find your favourite coffee at Costa. Costa Coffee.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav.
Go on.
You know you're obsessed with Florida Man.
I'm very obsessed with Florida Man.
Have you seen the Florida Man games?
No.
Okay, so he is the stuff of folklore and America's superlative punchline.
Yeah.
A species native only to the Sunshine State. Mm. So, Florida Man. Loads of headlines you get. Florida Man throws alligator through Wendy's drive-through window.
There
Florida
you go.
Man arrested for calling 9/11 after his cat was denied entry to a strip club. Florida man breaks into neighbor's house to top his burgers with sesame seeds.
Sure.
You're kidding.
But they've now got a Florida Man Olympic Games just for Florida-based events.
Go on.
So the guy who's organizing it, Pete Melfi,
yeah,
he's reverse engineered all these Florida Man headlines.
Yes, mm-hmm. into actual events.
Yeah, he says there's now a Florida Man, you know, day.
Competitive event.
Yes, very competitive. Sanity optional is the... Which is a bit weird. We're dead bonkers, we are.
It is, yeah.
I sort of missed the point of it. But
yeah.
He's put together all these events, like the weaponized pool noodle mud duel in the event coliseum, which is an inflatable paddling pool filled with sludge. Florida sumo required beer-bellied men wedged in life rings, barging each other inside a cage-fighting ring while holding a two-pint glass of beer.
Sounds graceful.
Eat the butt challenge.
What the hell?
They get the platters of pork. Which
pork butts. Right, yeah.
And they've
got
to eat the butt.
I thought it might be cigarette butts or something.
Yeah.
Florida, man.
They've got a contest entitled, these are now the best ones.
Yeah.
A catalyst converter, two bikes and a handful of copper pipes race against time.
What?
I don't understand.
What does that
mean? This is what happens. You've got to weave a bicycle in and out of traffic cones while holding a stolen catalytic converter. Then you have to pick the padlocks on a second bicycle and get both back through the course. The first to then steal a batch of copper piping and get it across the finishing line into a stolen trailer is the winner.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of skill involved with
it's
that,
fantastic.
Actually.
That's amazing.
The big finale is evading arrest on an obstacle course.
Right.
In which contestants are handcuffed inside a police car and challenged to escape. Then make their getaway by jumping fences. You've got to chuck an inflatable alligator through a window and tip over three wooden cows while three genuine former deputies from St. John County Sheriff's Office pursue you. They get $50 extra if they tase you.
Oh!
So they're really motivated.
Yeah, really motivated, yeah.
They're on a play. Yeah.
There's a mullet contest you'll be delighted
Great.
To hear.
Of course.
A Florida man pin-up contest for Florida woman.
Yeah.
This is a lovely bit. This is how it ends. Dennis Danger of Team Hanky Spanky, the overall winners. He was born in Bosnia, worked for the UN.
Yeah.
He now owns an axe-throwing club.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird...
Very niche.
He says, I grew up holy, then moved to Florida and changed my mind. Yeah. We're just living the good life. We've got a stereotype, we embrace it. We ride motorbikes, we rock mullets, we cut off our jeans, we hunt, we shoot, we like beer, we do dumb stuff, we can laugh at ourselves. How about that, guys?
There's a great life philosophy in that.
No, but living the stereotype, it's a real comfort. Mm.
It is, because you don't have to think after
like,
that.
Like, Aussies get insulted when you say, oh, I suppose you can just have a barbecue and a few...
Right.
And if you put a few shrimps on the barbie.
Yeah.
But, and yet, they do.
Well, it's like, yeah, mate.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
delicious.
Mate. Yeah, but how lovely to be able to relax back.
Mm. And enjoy your stereotype.
Into quite a nice, mindless stereotype.
Yeah.
And then get offended if anyone says to you...
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you lot do.
Right.
and you get all offended and act like, no.
No.
There's a lot more to it, mate. You know, we've got, like, lots of, like, fashion brands.
We have a few veggies now and
come
again.
Come here.
It'd be so easy, though, because you just, every decision you were faced with, it'd be, well, what would Florida Man do?
Yeah, right.
That's a great philosophy.
Right.
We should start embracing stereotype much more.
Right.
Saying, look, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's obvious what you should do.
What Florida Man does.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch the National Lottery, go to the pub, get hammered.
Throw an alligator.
That's what Brit Man would do.
What is our Florida?
Is it called an alligator?
It's Norfolk, isn't it?
Is it Norfolk?
No, it's Suffolk.
Do you think
oh,
Suffolk?
Oh, hang on.
This is the Libertines.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Thank you so much for all your texts into the 4 till 7 thing, celebrating harmless stereotypes. Hi, guys. We've had loads of really good harmless but classic stereotypes.
Beautiful classics, yeah.
I'm a pilot, and there's a stereotype that all pilots will immediately tell you they're a pilot. And that's from Trev, the pilot, who he'll probably be texting us again shortly. Meantime, Suntorini, the crew, I'll take pretty good care of you. I like the way he does open, though, with I'm a pilot.
Yeah. It really does.
I drive someone's a pilot, they tell you.
Yeah.
What have you seen there, Gav? Very quickly, you've got to
Ethan in Staffordshire says, afternoon, gang, I'm a tree surgeon, and the stereotype is that we're all loaded. What people fail to recognise is the ego contest of having the best equipment takes 95% of our earnings.
I wouldn't say that. I'd just say you're chronically overstaffed.
Do you think so?
Yes.
But they've got
there's about 20
Scandinavian
of them just
chainsaws.
Watching a tree. keep coming in, 83936. If you feel you've been classically stereotyped, Mac in Devon is a taxi driver. Stereotype is fat, lazy, bigoted, who knows everything about everything. He says he's living his best life. Thank you very much, Mac in Devon.
Radio X.
Dr. Sam Templeton's here. She's a great rock band.
She is.
Thanks.
The woman Gav's here. He could have been in a great
rock band.
Been,
yeah. He could have been a contender.
A little size here, and there's no way. at all.
No.
It's just no way.
You can't even say the words in the same sentence.
No, it's not happening.
It's not even happening at all. There's nothing about him whatsoever that rocks.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're just looking at some of the stereotypes that, that perhaps that you feel you are.
Yeah.
Or conform to. Stereotypes. We folk who work from home aren't always nipping off to watch Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah.
We alternate it with Escape to the Country. That is an important distinction. Hi, team. I'm a PE teacher. Stereotype is that I'm not the cleverest. However, I get paid the same as my colleagues who take tons of marking home every night, says Andy.
Very good point, Andy.
Spelling's a bit rough.
Yeah.
Manchester tram drivers are, of course, stereotyped as the sexy, strutting bad boys of the public transport world.
Right. Are they?
Jim from Stalybridge says, this isn't true. I don't strut.
Sure.
Big John, I'm ahead. It's tough, John.
Yeah.
All right, if you're gonna write in and start acting all familiar.
Yeah, sure.
Just get it right. I'm just saying, get it right. Attention to detail.
It's TJ, not BJ.
Yeah, right. Oh... pathetic. Okay, I'm just saying, you and Sunta, not little Si, particularly, because we wouldn't want him to grow up anymore.
No.
I've got a lot growing up to do.
Sure. Right?
If he grew up anymore, he'd be getting a bus pass. Mm. Hi, Big John. I'm a hairdresser. People think we're a bit thick. We just do that to make our clients look clever. That's Sally from Brum, a clever hairdresser. Thank you, Sally, the clever hairdresser. This is Andrew T. Wells, who's just got in touch with us.
Yeah.
He says, people believe the people of Tunbridge Wells are a bit la-di-da.
Yeah.
But if you met my gardener or my cleaner or the pool guy, I'm sure they'd tell you we're simply decent people.
Funding from Horizon Europe's £80 billion fund is now available to UK innovators and businesses, including SMEs, from engineering to the creative industries. So if you have an idea that you want to make reality, search Horizon Europe Innovate UK and apply for the funding you need for your R&D project. For terms and conditions and to see how you or your business can qualify, visit iuk.ktn-uk.org.
Radio.
X.
X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I've got a tale of treasure to fire up the pirate in you. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it's...
Things to make you...
Yes.
That is amazing.
Once again, I've got a tale of treasure to fire up the pirate in you. It is time for...
Things to make you...
Things to make you...
Brilliant.
Nothing that makes you go, ha-ha, like a bit of treasure.
No.
Get this. This is going to shiver your timbers.
Right, go on.
I've got a quest for a sunken ship.
This'll splice your main brace.
Oh, yeah. This'll make you stand up like a main sprit in a Forest Niner.
Go on.
Seriously. Look, okay, stop fooling around, right?
Okay.
All hands on deck.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. Right, make ready.
Yeah, make ready, okay, because this is what I've got here, yeah? Anyone who's not focused, they'll be walking the plank.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, listen to this, me hearties.
Otherwise, this link won't be seaworthy.
Seriously, Gav, sometimes, Gav, you're an odd cove.
Go on.
A quest. Let's focus again, because this is...
Things to make you...
A quest for a sunken ship and lost treasure. The stuff of childhood stories is being played out as Columbia sets out to receive... treasure worth guess how much. In fact, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay,
let me
on.
Just tell you this, yeah? The South American country is sending a robot to the deep to recover loot from the holy grail of shipwrecks. There is a war of words over sovereignty and the raiding of a war grave. Yeah, I mean, this ship went down a long, long time ago, guys.
Is this a Spanish galleon? Is it? With gold aboard.
Yes. The Spanish ship San Jose was found 9 years ago at a depth of 600 metres. Right. I don't know what that is in fathom. But this was... Or how many leagues hence?
How many nautical miles
down? No, I don't know how many leagues hence.
Yeah, no
or
idea
fathoms
either.
Down.
Yeah. No
they
idea.
Won't give out exact position.
No, sure.
So this was 307 years after it sank in the battle known as Wages Action or the Battle of Barre. Its powder magazine exploded, sank. Mm. It was returning to Spain with treasures from South America.
Mm.
More than 100 steel chests.
What was in those chests, John?
Gold and silver coins and emeralds.
And emeralds.
100 steel chests.
Well.
Bear in mind that when Sir Francis Drake captured that huge... I think it was Drake or Raleigh? Yes, Drake captured that huge Spanish galleon.
Yeah.
The gold they got not only got rid of all England's debts,
but the whole country's debts.
The whole country's debts. But not only that, they found so much gold from the Spanish that they took out all the lead from the keel of the boat he was in, the Golden Hind.
Just to transport the
gold? No. And filled it with the gold.
Why?
To wait, because they couldn't carry both the lead and the gold.
Right, so they used the gold
as ballast.
My
they lifted
God.
However many tons of lead
out of the keel
of the boat, and instead they had a keel of
golden
gold.
Golden keel. Wow.
Yes.
Show-offs.
But that's things that make you...
So how much do they think it's worth?
What, 100 steel chests full of gold, silver, and vast numbers of emeralds?
Yeah.
50 billion.
The equivalent of 20 billion. There you
20
go.
Billion?
Oh, Juan David Correa, the culture
Hang
minister,
on,
said
I
in April.
I want to move to Colombia.
And May a summer.
Well, because it'd be a really rich country.
Since you could fight them off.
I bet.
You could fight them off, since.
Things I don't want you saying again on this show. Cut a glass of wine, move to Colombia.
Imagine if Sunta became like a pirate warlord and had her own boat and loads of soldiers under her, just doing her command.
Look,
collecting the gold.
Just a local warlord.
Yeah.
London hasn't got any. A submersible robot would retrieve artifacts from the surface of the galleon to test how they materialise when they come out of the water.
Yeah, sure. Mm. No, there was nothing down there.
What you have to say... but what you always have to say, this is the big load of... The sort of lie that everyone who's doing metal detecting, everyone says, is it's not about the value, it's about history.
Sure.
History is the treasure.
Yeah, sure.
But for many, the treasure is the treasure. A lot of people want a piece of it.
Yeah.
Because it is...
Things to make you...
Radio X.
This is your dinner party chit chat magazine.
Oh. Nice.
We've already covered.
So this is dinner party ammo you're going to give us, is it?
Yeah, these are really great things that will certainly start discussion, guys.
Sure.
For instance, you could start by going, I say, Roger. I see that they're saying Adele is now a Cockney. She's not a Cockney. You've got to be born in the sound of the Bow Bells. Ask any Londoner.
And bang, you've started a massive conversation.
Is Adele a Cockney? No.
Massive discussion,
Just you've got a London accent. Yes. If Chelsea, say when we used to play Newcastle, when we play Newcastle away.
Sure.
Newcastle fans will, as one, scream, we hate Cockneys.
Yes.
We hate Cockneys.
And to their mind, you're all Cockneys.
You're just from London. As to our mind, they're all Geordies from up there.
Sure.
Anyone with even vaguely that accent, like Durham or whatever, I don't know. I think he was a Geordie.
Do they have to be near any kind of bells, or is that just a Cockney thing?
No, it doesn't. As long as the further you get away from London, the more they're all Cockneys. So obviously, if you come into London,
then it's
then
Whitechapel,
sound the Bow Bells, it's a bit different.
Sure.
But it's not. I mean. A lot of people said you're only a Cockney if you're born within the sound of the bells of the whatever hospital it is.
Right.
And then, what was the hospital? St. Clement's, is it?
I don't know, yeah.
That's in the rhyme.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Isn't it?
No, I can't remember. There's St. Thomas's Hospital used to be within the sound of the Bow Bells.
Right.
So people who were born in St. Thomas's were all Cockneys. But then St. Thomas's Hospital left the East End.
Oh, and it's now at a different premises.
Yes, now Waterloo.
Okay, of course.
So you've got a lot of people that have been born there. So not as bold as Thomas is. Well, I go, yes, but it's not hardly the boat. Here's the point, It depends how far enough you're away.
Right.
Within London, Cockney's only Bow Bells. Gotta be.
It's gotta be, yeah.
But once you move a bit further away, it's like in Liverpool, you can never pin a Scouser down and say, no, he's not a Scouser. He's from Kirby.
Yeah.
That's not Bootle. That's Scouse. You know, they all just ridiculous.
Yeah, they'll
that's
have not another word
that's
for
not
it.
Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
Toxtus. Somewhere like that.
And that's a Scouser.
That's a Scouser. Yeah. Whereas to us, even if it's got a slight accent of the Wirral or something like that, so it depends how far you're away. But again, great thing to debate.
Sure.
And also, if you're all going to start, also, it gives fellas a chance to really rail against Adele and her tyranny.
Absolutely.
She is white, or she, George, she is Pinot Grigio in human form.
I think you're going to say Pinochet for a minute.
Yes, General Pinot Grigio. Next up.
Go on.
So once you finish your chat with that, you can say, calm down, everyone, as to what constitutes a Cockney and who's a Cockney.
Yeah.
Have you seen the French have gone gooey for cheese toasties?
What?
Really?
Yes. And obviously, croque monsieur were for years their sort of answer to it. But
sure.
Yesterday in France, they had a toasties cheese makers conference and competition.
Oh. Right. So the actual fold-down toasty maker rather than the making it in the...
Well, they fry the croque monsieur traditionally.
I just check, is the ham monsieur and the egg...
Ham and cheese. Well, it's actually not even cheese. It's a sort of a roux cheesy sauce. Either side of a slice of ham.
Yeah.
And then you butter the outside of the bread and you fry that. That's a croque monsieur. Yeah.
Well, again, so you can start debating what makes a cheese toasty. That's not a toasty. That's a croque monsieur.
That's a croque monsieur.
Then you can start discussing what your favourite cheese is. Also, another great thing to have for this dinner party chit chat is where you've had your best cheese toasty.
Nice.
People start to go, oh no, do you remember them ones we had? Oh.
Yeah.
That day we went,
Oh,
do you remember there used to be that place in...
With that bloomer bread.
Oh, there was that place in Arndale.
And they put some red onion in.
And then someone might go, no way, mate. The cab stand ran a cold at me.
Yeah, cheese and beans together.
Oh, lally.
But it stays hot so long.
It's a bit of me, that. Someone else might go, you're both talking rubbish. There used to be there was the Parthenon Lock, a little great place just around the corner, a little snack bar. And we did a brilliant cheese toast here with a bit of hem in it. So there's another discussion. Here's your last one.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Once you've been through what is a Cockney and your cheese toasty, your very last discussion will concern... Look, this is a great way to kick off.
Yeah.
You start off the discussion by going, yeah, do you remember them Peugeot 205s back in the 80s?
Yeah, what, the 1.6 or the 1.9 GTI?
Well, in this case, the Turbo 1.6 Group B. Well, it just sold one of only 200, let them drive.
Yeah.
227 bears and ban.
What's that, sort of a proper rally car?
No, it's a regular road car on an A plate.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, I know, unbelievable. It's sold for 227,000, 250 miles, done only 10,000 miles. It's a left-hand drive model. There it is, Gav. I never saw one of those on the road. It was one of only 200 ever made. But again...
No, I've never seen one of those. No. There was a Renault 5 that had the mid-engine and the wide rear arch.
You can feel how this dinner party is going to start to swing in the right way.
Yeah, pour me another glass. Let's get chatting.
Yeah, let's get flashbacks. And you know something? Once you start talking about hot hatches, the ladies will get involved. Do you remember that Gary I went out with?
Yeah, the XR2.
He had the Renault Gualdini. I always liked it.
Gualdini.
And there you go. You got that going. Your favourite hatchback.
Yeah. Radio X.
That was our podcast. Simon, I've listened to the first bit now.
What?
You didn't put any of it in.
You left all the in-between bits where we asked for applause.
There's no point doing that. Anyway, don't forget to... I'm disappointed. Right. That was lazy, and it does sound weird without it. Sort of really deconstructed it. There's no magic left in there, is there? Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. If you put a load of sound effects around this bit at the end and not the start as well, I'll be livid on Monday.
Of course I won't.
Penny dropped yet? Well, the pennies are dropping at Aldi. In store now, this week's Super 6 from as little as 39p. Oranges, kiwi and British Royal Gala apples just 89p. Romaine lettuce and Mange 2 just 69p. And spring onions just 39p. Cha-ching! So chop chop, get down to Aldi.